Welcome to Christianity Today Audio.
Welcome to this week's Christianity Today News Review with Ted Olson, CT's Managing Editor for News and Online Journalism. I'm your host, Stan Guthrie. Ted, we know that Barack Obama spent a lot of time and resources courting the evangelical vote. How did that go for him?
It didn't seem to have worked a whole lot. The results in the 2008 election look a lot like the 2004 election. There's some discussion of whether or not George Bush was a spike of evangelical support for the Republican Party. Back in the Clinton years, you had about a two-thirds, one-third split, where two of every three evangelicals were voting for Republicans, and one of three was voting for Democrats. Mm-hmm. In the case of Bill Clinton. Back in the Bush elections, that jumped up to about three of four evangelicals voting Republican. The question there was, is that based on kind of personality? Is that based on identification? Bush never called himself an evangelical, but a lot of evangelicals considered him one. So there's a lot of discussion going in about whether or not the numbers would go back down after Bush. Well, they didn't, as it turns out. 74% voted for McCain, 25% voted for Obama. So, and the turnout was about the same. About 26% of American evangelical, of American voters called themselves evangelical or born again. And that's pretty much like it was in 2004. There's a slight change. Kerry only got 21% of the vote in 2004, but the Republican level was the same.
So will Obama keep courting evangelicals given these numbers?
It looks like he will. They won't be the same evangelicals that you saw being invited to the White House in the Bush administration. But, for example, right before Barack Obama gave his victory speech on Tuesday night, he prayed with Joel Hunter, who is a megachurch pastor, a white evangelical, large Orlando megachurch pastor, mm-hmm. Who actually is a registered Republican and who prayed at the Democratic National Convention. I think that's one indication. I think you'll see evangelicals more on the political left, like Jim Wallace, still having some access, and there'll be a lot of these discussions. I don't think it's going to turn completely off, but I think that a number of the kind of political operatives are going to say, you know, we can't completely trash religious conservatives or evangelicals, but they're probably not going to swing much for us. But inviting them in is a way to show that we're making efforts to be centrist.
Yeah, I saw some analysis after the election that said that Obama's courting of evangelicals actually may have helped him with mainliners.
That's possible. Actually, Obama did narrow what they call the God gap. I mean, there's the evangelical vote, but one of the better numbers to look at is the gap in the people who are weekly attenders or more often. And in that case, Obama did close a lot of that gap. Bush beat Kerry in that group 61% to 39%. The gap was a lot narrower. McCain only got 54% of the weekly churchgoers. Obama got 44%. And that gain apparently is more of a Protestant gain than a Catholic gain.
There were some significant results having to do with both abortion and gay marriage. Why don't you tell us about those?
Well, this was a little bit of a surprise to me. We hear a lot in our offices at Christianity Today about people being tired of debating homosexuality. But the marriage initiatives, there were several of them around the country, they all passed, including one in Arkansas where it banned cohabiting couples, whether they're gay or straight, from adopting children or serving mm-hmm. as foster parents. All of those passed around the country, but none of the abortion measures passed. Some of them were quite strong. The South Dakota was more or less an outright ban with some additional exceptions for health of the mother and that kind of thing. California had one that was relatively small. It was just a parental notification law. But across the board, none of them passed. So it does seem that taking the pulse of the country a little bit there may be more of an abortion fatigue than there is a gay marriage fatigue.
That's interesting, because in our circles, we often hear that evangelicals supposedly lump these two issues together, and yet the electorate is definitely sending different messages about them.
Right. It's hard to do a one-to-one comparison because, as we see in even the evangelical numbers, you know, social conservatives differ from state to state. I mean, mm-hmm. one thing to talk about with the Obama numbers is that, you know, Obama didn't win the evangelical vote in any state, but the numbers varied very widely. In a place like Illinois, there was only a 19-point margin. And in Mississippi, there's an 81% margin, so 90% of evangelicals supported McCain in Mississippi. In Illinois, it was 60%. Mm. So it's hard to do, you know, so regional differences matter. And, of course, these ballot initiatives on gay marriage, on abortion, and some of these other social conservative matters, you know, they only appear in certain states this year. Mm. So you can't necessarily do a full, you know, national, you know, state of the nation kind of thing. But it does seem that at least in this case, marriage concerns trumped life ethics. Another one to look at is Michigan, where embryonic stem cell research was approved. In Washington State, assisted suicide was approved. So it wasn't all abortion. There's kind of a broad life ethics issue. And in every case, the pro-life side lost.
So what's ahead for the pro-life movement given these results?
That's a good question, especially also with the changes in Congress and in the presidency. Mm-hmm. I do think you will see moderates and evangelicals like Jim Wallace holding Democrats' feet to the fire and say, hey, you guys mostly ran on an abortion reduction platform, and we want to see that really happen. And I think that you will see some common ground attempted to be laid on abortion reduction. But the ways in which abortion reduction is sometimes done with comprehensive sex education or forms of birth control that can prevent implantation of a fertilized egg, that's going to be a fight ahead.
Ted, so far we've just discussed gay marriage and abortion, but obviously the election came in a context of many issues, one of which is a pretty rocky economy right now.
Right. It also comes, you know, one of the early things people have been talking about this week is the opportunities for racial reconciliation. Mm-hmm. And I do think you'll see some moves on that. I mean, something that you had very conservative people talking about, like Al Mohler, John Piper. When you look at the church, actually, there's a huge split between white evangelicals and black Protestants.
In what way?
In their voting behavior and mm-hmm. in a lot of what they said was important to them. We're going to have a new conversation on race in a lot of ways. So I think that conversation will extend into the church. You mentioned the economy. I think that, you know, obviously that was the number one concern. Mm-hmm. And so what that offers is an opportunity to kind of start off the 2009 Obama presidency with a discussion of the economy and a lot of opportunities for bridge building on what to do about economic issues, what to do about immediate helping both businesses and banks and your Joe the Plumber types with the economy. So
when you say bridge building, Ted, who are you talking about?
Well, I'm saying that the economic issues do not quite have the same polarization that you would have on issues on abortion and gay marriage. Mm-hmm. You know, even though Obama has made certain declarations that his first acts as president would be, you know, X, Y, or Z, you know, social issues, I actually don't think we're going to see that as much because that famously went bad for Bill Clinton. And I don't think that Obama is going to start off by making some very, very liberal actions. I think his first acts as president will probably be economic ones. And that will, I think, help to not quite polarize the discussion right off the bat if his first act had been, you know, to revoke various pro-life issues, if he at least waits a little bit of time to do that. That at least gives a little bit of a, I don't want to say a honeymoon period, but an opportunity for discussion between traditional conservatives and a Democratic president.
Thanks, Ted. Ted Olson is the managing editor for news and online journalism for Christianity Today. I'm Stan Guthrie.
To get 3 free trial issues of Christianity Today magazine, go to christianitytoday.com/CT.